This is Akashvani. In this special program, now we bring you an exclusive interview with Dr. Saurabh Garg, Secretary, Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation, on the base year revision of GDP estimates. Interviewer is Niharika Bhuvania.
Hello and welcome to this special program where our conversation today is about the new revised GDP estimates to be rolled out on February 27th. I am Niharika Bhuvania with you, your anchor. And today we have with us Mr. Saurabh Garg, Secretary, Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
So before we dive into the nitty-gritties of this conversation, which might slightly be complicated for some of our listeners and viewers, let's first start by understanding what is meant by GDP.
So just to give a broad overview, GDP is calculating what is the value of goods and services produced in a nation by an economy. And it is essential to give a kind of a picture of the status of the economy. And broadly, there are three sectors in the GDP. One is the agriculture sector, mm-hmm. which includes fisheries, animal husbandry, and all activities of the rural areas primarily. The second is the industrial sector, where a lot of the manufacturing and other such activities are there. And the third is the services sector, where a lot of different activities of transport and housing, etc., happen. And this is GDP is the number which is used to compare different nations. And when you want to talk about how well a country is doing or what needs to be done, GDP is the number that everyone refers to. So GDP is perhaps the single most important macroeconomic number which is used to assess the health of the economy mm-hmm. and the status of the country globally.
Understood. And going forward, we are going to be using the terms nominal GDP and real GDP in our conversation quite a bit.
Yeah.
So do you want to give us an introduction to
sure.
that so that we
sure.
understand it better?
Sure. And I would also relate it to the fact of why, therefore, a base year is required.
Of course.
Whenever we want to compare GDP from year to year, we need to be sure that the changes that are happening in the economy are due to fundamental structural changes and not only due to inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, just 2 weeks back, we brought out the revised consumer price inflation, which gives an idea if changes are happening in the prices of different commodities from year to year. So while you might still be producing 100 boxes of soap, for example, but if the price changes from year to year, the value of those 100 boxes of soap will change,
mm-hmm.
though you have not produced any additional items, so to say.
Right.
So that's the difference between real and nominal. You separate the price effects from the real economy and only look at what actually has been the increase in goods or increase in services, which are bereft of any price changes. And the price changes are compared with the base year. That's why you need a base year, so that you remove the price changes with respect to the base year and look at how production has increased of any goods and services compared to the base year.
Understood. So that would essentially mean that nominal GDP is the one that is calculated at current market prices.
Yes.
And real GDP is adjusted for inflation. So it's
yes.
a slightly more comprehensive.
Yes, and it's
picture.
Called, it's measured at constant prices.
Understood.
So the prices remain the same.
And as far as I understand, every country uses different methodologies to calculate GDP. So, for example, you could be looking at salaries, or for example, you could be looking at the value add at every stage of production.
Yes.
How does our country do it?
So, internationally, there are essentially two or maybe three, you can put it, methods of how you calculate GDP. One is what you call the production approach.
Mm-hmm.
So, look at what are the items that are produced or what are the services that are produced, and then calculate the total volume of this and then multiply it by the prices to get a value. The other way of looking at it is the consumption approach. You find what households consume, what industries consume in terms of different items or services, and calculate that and then try and see whether it matches. And there's a third called the income approach. Look at the incomes of the different factors of production, so to say. So all countries essentially follow a mix of the production and consumption approach. In our country, we look at production approach as the official source, so to say, and a consumption approach to validate that. countries might follow different mechanisms. But one thing that we now have the advantage because of the digital penetration in the country, our consumption approach has become so much more robust because we have more data, especially because of the GST. So going forward, we expect that both the production approach and the consumption approach would be much more accurate, especially on the consumption side, than they were.
Understood. Now, before we talk about the new GDP series, I would also like to tell all those who are listening to us that series are revised after a specific period of time so that we can accommodate the structural changes that have taken place in the economy. So with this new GDP series that is going to be launched on February 27th, 2026, how well do you think the ministry is prepared for this rollout and any special steps that they have taken to ensure that the process goes on smoothly?
Yeah. The process of change of this revision of the GDP has been going on for the past 2 years now. We had a committee of experts, in fact, different committees we had, different groups of experts worked on it, on various aspects of looking at the data sources that are available, looking at the methodological issues, looking at what are the rates and ratios that have been used, looking at how to prepare regional accounts, state domestic products. So over the past 2 years, this group of 50 or so experts were divided into five subcommittees. And they have had over 40 meetings over the past 2 years to come up with the revisions that are required. And one of the steps that we are taking now to inform people of what are the changes that would be there. And we hope through this media outreach that we are doing that we are able to communicate to everyone what has been done. I may also add that over the past 1 year or more, we've had a number of consultations with economists, academics, researchers across the country. We had meetings in Delhi, in Mumbai, and in Chennai, so that different academics and economists and forecasters who attended can get their issues, doubts clarified. Apart from that, we've also put out discussion papers on the on our portal. We put out three discussion papers last year and another three final reports we have put out this year. Our objective is to ensure that everyone is aware what are the changes we are doing, why we are doing them, and what is the path that we have chosen, why we have chosen it, so that there are no surprises for anyone. And I do hope that many of them would have taken the time to read that and understand it.
I think let's move towards the next step of deconstructing this entire process. Earlier, 2011-12 was chosen as the base year for marking out our estimates. And now we have it as 2022-23.
Yes.
Why not any other year? Or yeah, what makes 2022-23 a good year for these estimates and data sets?
Yeah. So normally, the international norm is to change them at 5 years or 5 to 7 years in that region to change it. You are aware that in 2017, we rolled out a major financial change in the by the GST. And then in 2021, COVID struck, 2020-21. So because of that, there was disruption in the economy. 22-23 was seen as the first normal year after the post-COVID disruptions. And we did two surveys in 22-23 and 23-24 to just determine. And we found that 22-23 took care of most of the issues were coming back. And that's how we chose that as the base year.
It was the first normal year after so much happening in the economy, if I may put it that way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So in the past 10 years, we've seen the economy move towards digital. Digital has boomed like anything, and there has also been an increase of gig workers.
Yeah.
So how will these revised estimates be able to accommodate the digital economy or the gig economy in any way?
So let me also, before I answer this question, let me say that in our existing series also, a lot of these digital changes were getting captured. After the launch of Digital India in 2015, the digital part of the economy has really expanded. So it gets captured in the sense that the companies who operate in this sector, through their activities and their reports, it gets captured. But there are a few things that we have done additionally so that we capture it so much more in a granular manner in this base series. We do a monthly analysis of occupations that people are engaged in through the periodic labor force survey. So we collect information through that how many are gig workers and what their earnings, etc., and to get an idea of what they are doing. We also do an annual survey of unincorporated sector enterprises, where also we get information of how well they are using the internet and other digital services. So apart from the formal system that we have of collecting the information, we also get information through these surveys. And we did a household consumption expenditure survey in 22-23, which also gave us an idea of how much people are using the e-commerce platforms. So a combination of these data sources, and because of Digital India, the number of digital sources we have for data have improved. We have a lot of administrative data like e-Vahan and PFMS, which also gives us much more granular data. So that is, we are very conscious of the fact that we need to capture the digital economy, and we've taken extensive efforts in that direction.
So I think it would be correct to say that looking at the GDP series in isolation is perhaps not the right way to go about it. We need to look at data as a whole.
Absolutely.
We need to look at all that is available in the public domain as a whole.
Yes, yes.
So will this new GDP series lead to a significant upward or downward shift in the previous data sets that we've seen? And if so, then what is the right way to look at it?
Yeah. So whenever there's a base revision, and as I mentioned, it's an international norm. All countries do it, and at a certain periodicity, some may do it sooner, some may do it later. And obviously, there are some changes that happen. A lot of the changes depend on how robust was the database in the previous revision compared to the present revision. Fortunately, in India, we have a very extremely good and robust system of data collection. And that goes back to more than 75 years when surveys were, in fact, started in India, when Professor Mahalanobis started it in the 1950s, and that was taken up by across the world. So given our robust legacy data systems that we have, the attempt in every revision is to how to improve those data systems, and that is what we are doing in this, getting more granular, getting more frequency, higher frequency data, more timely data, to ensure that we have more robust and accurate estimates. Having said that, there will be some changes. They could be upward, they could be downward. In some sectors, they could be upward, they could be downward. But broadly, the trajectory, we expect it to be on similar lines, and no major changes are expected in that sense.
So previously, when we calculated deflation, it was against 180 items of the WPI.
Yeah.
But now we are using 500 to 600 items of the Consumer Price Index, that is the new one, and the old WPI series. Till when are we going to follow this process, and what do we see further happening in this area?
Yeah. So let me just mention that we use a combination of both CPI and WPI, not only one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the earlier series, as you correctly mentioned, we used inflation indices at item level or at some subsector level for 180 groups of products or products. That is significantly increasing to nearly three times in the new series. That means that the deflators that we are using are so much more specific and so much more relevant for the categories that we are using it for. Just to explain that, why do we need this? It is because we want to separate the quantity changes from the price changes. So if there are 100 cars produced in a particular year and the price of that only changes, then the total number remains the same.
Okay.
There is no addition in the economy in that sense, so, though in terms of prices it does. But if that 100 becomes 110 and the price also increases, how to separate the two? So the fact that we are going to be having ability to use much more granular data will only make the estimates more robust than what they were already. We were already at a quite granular level. We become much more granular. And we never use the headline numbers of either CPI or WPI. It's always a mix of the two and see what is the most relevant.
Understood. So how should policymakers or how should economists use the old GDP series numbers, and also will there be a clear series, backdated series for comparison?
When we release the data on the 27th, we will be releasing the data for four years, from starting from 22-23 up to 25-26. So For these 4 years, the data already exists in the old series, and now data would also be there for the new series. So you will have a direct comparison of where the changes have happened. And I think this will also identify the areas where the growth or changes have been done and what are the reasons for that. There will be some indication of that also, so that there's a better appreciation of the new numbers. Regarding the data prior to 2022-23, it takes time because a lot of the old data has to be mined to find out what data is available, what is not available. And our expert groups will continue to work on that, and we expect by the end of the year to be able to bring out the back series, which goes back to the previous series and even before that. Whenever two series are being compared, we must always realize that the later series has more data sources, the methodology often changes, the number of activities that are being captured changes, and there might be changes in international definitions and classifications. So it has to be a very informed comparison that has to be done, and a direct comparison might be slightly misleading.
And also, will you be moving the time frame of the GDP revisions?
As I mentioned, that internationally the norm is to have it every 5 years or so, 5 to 7 years. For us also, this is the 9th revision of series over the past many decades. Before 2011-12, we had the 2004-05 series. Before that, it was the 99-2000 series. So the attempt is to do it every 5 and 7 years, unless and until some other external shocks happen like the COVID, which delayed it. Going forward, we expect in the next 5 years or so to do the next revision.
So unless any unforeseen circumstances take over,
Absolutely. This
is our plan going forward.
Absolutely.
Speaking of international norms, so the IMF sometime in November 2025 raised a slight concern about the way we handle our national accounting system. And they raised concerns over single deflation and use of outdated data sets. And to this, they assigned grade C to our framework. So after this new series is released, do we plan to get back to them on this assessment? And do we plan to improve it in any way?
The IMF does this consultations every year, in fact, more than once a year. So whenever we bring out data or whenever there is an annual consultation, these issues are discussed. And they would obviously be discussed this year also. But let me just mention that the main concern of the IMF was with respect to the base year that we were using, and that was extremely old now. Mm-hmm. It was more than a decade old. Given the fact that we are now updating that to 2022-23, and at the same time making a number of methodological improvements, I talked about the deflators being more granular. We are shifting to double deflation totally in the manufacturing and agriculture sectors where it's most relevant. Introducing volume extrapolation wherever it's required. So all of the methodological changes that we are doing, we will continue to be internationally among the best, and we expect that the IMF will take note of these.
Understood. So as we are almost nearing the end of the conversation, just a few more questions.
Yeah.
Now, with this shift to double inflation, previously we were referring to single deflation, but with this shift to double inflation and item-level CPI-based deflators, so do you expect India's real GDP to structurally change, especially in manufacturing and services?
The exact numbers would be out tomorrow. But as I mentioned, that broadly, the database structures and the data that we were using has been robust. We are a data-rich country, and I must say that we are perhaps one of the most transparent in the way we place our data on the portals and the different websites, both in the states and the central government. So given the fact that our databases are robust, what we are now doing is, number one, increasing the number of data sources that we have, using a lot more of digital data, which has now become available, using a lot more of high-frequency data sources that are now available, and also ensuring that we adhere to the international classifications and definitions. So all these will make our data more accurate, more robust, and therefore more credible. There would be certain changes which happen in the numbers, but our expectation are that apart from a few sectors, broadly, they would be on expected lines.
Well, now that we are almost at the end of this conversation, do you see scope for near real-time GDP tracking? And do you see any other high-frequency administrative data sets being a part of the way we calculate our national accounts in the next 3 to 5 years? And also, how do you place this process vis-a-vis the Viksit Bharat 2047 vision?
First, on the real-time indicators, I think because, as I mentioned, use of technology is integral to what we are doing. I mentioned earlier about the digital data that is available, GST and e-Vahan and a host of public financial management system by which we are able to get data of what has been the expenditure of the government right up to the panchayat level. So while it may not be really real-time in the sense that it is instantaneous, but the fact remains that we have much more timely data now, much with higher frequency and with much more greater granularity because of the changes in technology. We have also incorporated technology intimately in our data collection. All data that we collect it through either portals or on tablets, mm-hmm. which ensures that it's available immediately. Even in our dissemination, we have used technology extensively so that people get the data the moment we publish it. It's available to them for them use immediately for their research purposes. We have improved our data visualization that we are doing so that people can query the data and get insights from that so much more effectively. So use of technology, use of the latest techniques, including artificial intelligence, is something that we continually evaluate and going forward. And this is also very essential when we talk of Viksit Bharat 2047, the vision which encompasses that we use technology most effectively for the benefit of people. The granularity that we are offering in this revised GDP series would contribute towards more data-driven decision-making. In fact, the motto of our ministry is data for development. Mm-hmm. And it is in that context that we are doing this revision. In fact, every revision keeps in view how it can help in data-driven decision-making. Because the changes of the economy reflected in the GDP numbers are very essential for deciding, for example, which areas to invest in. The private sector looks at it, looks at the growth areas of the economy, which sectors are growing. It helps us to decide where we need infrastructure, depending on the geographical requirements of different regions. Mm-hmm. So it helps the government to look at infrastructure requirements. It helps the private sector if they're looking at foreign direct investment or foreign portfolio investments into the country to look at how the economy is doing and the health of the economy. And all these will contribute to making an India a Viksit Bharat by 2047. So I'm sure that this GDP series would be used more effectively by investors, by citizens, by government, by all stakeholders in ensuring that there are more evidence-based decisions that are taking, and new policies and programs that come up are so much backed by the information collected from this data.
In fact, citizens who would so like to do are always welcome to go to the ministry website and refer to all the data sets that are available. That makes data highly transparent as well.
Yes.
For anybody who would like.
Yes.
To.
Yes, and we've made data available in a very easy for the citizen. Mm-hmm. And also in machine-readable formats, so that if people want to do some further analysis upon it, it will be very easy for them to do it.
Thank you so much for your time, Secretary Garg, for sparing your time for us and for deconstructing this entire conversation for our listeners. It's been a pleasure being in conversation.
Thank you. I enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.
You were listening to an exclusive interview with Dr. Saurabh Garg, Secretary, Ministry of Statistics and Program Implementation, on the base year revision of GDP estimates. Interviewer was Niharika Bhuvania. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.